Why would a man who finally won his freedom after 30 years in prison refuse to leave? Ben Gunn murdered an 11-year-old boy at age 14 and spent decades behind bars. Yet when offered release, he resisted. Inside those walls, he'd transformed himself into a jailhouse lawyer, helping fellow prisoners fight the system. He'd gone from nobody to somebody, a medium fish in a small pond with real influence. Only after launching a successful blog that attracted 20,000 readers and earned an Orwell Prize nomination did he finally accept freedom at age 47. Once outside, Ben collapsed psychologically. "I knew who I was in prison," he explained. "Now I'm completely lost." His story reveals something profound about human nature. We're all playing a game we rarely acknowledge, yet it shapes every decision we make. Understanding this game, the status game, might be the most important insight you'll ever gain about why people behave the way they do. Life is a status game hardwired into our brains through millions of years of evolution. As tribal creatures, humans first seek acceptance in supportive communities, then strive to rise within them. Higher rank meant better mates, more food, and greater safety. Today, we play multiple status games simultaneously, at work, online, in sports, volunteer groups, and even at home. Status, the respect and deference we receive from others, is the strongest predictor of long-term positive feelings across all cultures and demographics. This isn't merely pleasant, it's a biological necessity, as real as oxygen or water. Civil servants at the bottom of organizational hierarchies have 4 times the risk of death compared to those at the top. Similar effects appear even in baboons. Before gaining status, we must first be accepted as players. Status determines whether we thrive or wither. We experience ourselves as heroes in our own stories, an illusion created by what neuroscientist Michael Gazzaniga calls the interpreter module. This brain mechanism generates self-serving narratives that position us as the universe's protagonists. Unlike games with clear scoreboards, human life requires navigating status through symbols. Our status detection system is remarkably sensitive. We make instant judgments about competence from clothing, voice, and posture, detecting dominance markers in milliseconds. We even emit and respond to inaudible frequency hums, establishing conversational hierarchies. Status symbols vary wildly across cultures. From Pohnpei Islanders' decade-long competitions to grow ceremonial yams, to 1950s Americans' obsession with car length. Most people choose higher status over higher pay, and happiness correlates more with relative income position than absolute wealth. Beyond status competition, civilization requires shared rules. Universal DNA rules include helping family, returning favors, showing bravery, deferring to superiors, dividing resources fairly, and respecting property. Cultural rules vary dramatically across societies. Status comes in 3 varieties: dominance, virtue, and success. Dominance games coerce through force or fear. Virtue games reward conspicuous duty, obedience, and morality. Success games award achievement requiring skill, talent, or knowledge. Most real-world games blend these elements, though one typically predominates. Karen Turner, a Port Authority commissioner, arrived at a traffic stop involving her daughter and immediately asserted dominance, announcing herself with business cards, mentioning her position and mayoral connections. When officers politely refused to explain the stop, Turner escalated with staccato no's, jabbing fingers, profanity, and personal space invasion. The dashcam encounter, released online, led to her resignation from the ethics committee she chaired. Prestige-based status operates differently. When someone demonstrates high value through virtue or success, others are magnetically drawn to them. Lower-ranked players subconsciously see prestigious individuals as knowledge sources that could help them rise. These admirers offer symbolic status as payment, lavishing eye contact, deferring in conversation, maintaining subservient postures, smiling submissively, bringing gifts, using honorific titles. They blindly imitate prestigious individuals, adopting their dress, speech patterns, reading habits, beliefs, and mannerisms. This evolutionary tendency extends beyond humans. Even monkeys copy high-status associates, though humans take mimicry to far greater extremes. The most dangerous players in the status game share a pattern: male, grandiose, and severely humiliated. Humiliation is the nuclear bomb of emotions, causing major depressions, psychosis, and extreme rage. Criminal violence expert Professor James Gilligan describes it as annihilation of the self, a complete rejection severing connection to one's community. When someone with pathologically fierce status needs experiences this rejection, they may burn down the village to feel its warmth. Elliot Rodger exemplifies this pattern. As a teenager, he felt increasingly alienated, describing himself as extremely unpopular, widely disliked, and viewed as the weirdest kid. His refuge was World of Warcraft, where he achieved the highest level, a huge and important accomplishment, providing status and connection. This sanctuary collapsed when he discovered his gaming friends secretly met without him. After abandoning gaming, Roger's thoughts turned catastrophic. He fantasized about becoming very powerful, transforming humiliation into a grandiose narrative where he was destined for greatness and women were villains. World of Warcraft hadn't caused his madness. It likely kept him sane by providing the status and connection he desperately craved. Social media weaponizes our status obsession through engineered addiction. Dr. B.J. Fogg's behavior model shows how platforms combine motivation, status desire, triggers, notifications, and ability, easy access, with unpredictable rewards, functioning like slot machines where we never know what validation awaits. The results are staggering. We check phones 96 times daily, with 57% checking within 10 minutes of waking. Top influencers earn millions, while ordinary users find their online personas eclipse their offline selves. As Facebook's former VP admitted, these platforms psychologically figure out how to manipulate you as fast as possible. Yet status never satisfies. We always crave more. Imelda Marcos spent $1.5 million in a single shopping spree, calling it guidelines for the poor. Turkmenistan's dictator renamed days after himself and erected a gold-plated, rotating statue facing the sun. This status drunkenness poisons cultures. 85% of employees feel unable to speak honestly to their bosses, trapped in hierarchies that prioritize appearance over truth. Status rewards strategic play, though our brains deceive us into believing we're moral heroes. Seven principles help navigate this terrain. First, practice warmth, sincerity, and competence. Professor Susan Fiske found people assess others on two questions: what are their intentions, and what's their capacity to pursue them? Display warmth, you won't dominate; sincerity, you'll play fair; and competence, you offer value. Second, create small moments of prestige rather than dominance. Glowers and complaints damage reputation. Third, play multiple games to avoid overinvesting identity in one arena. Fourth, reduce your moral sphere. Virtue is easy status, requiring only judgment, but causes misery when blended with dominance. Fifth, foster a trade-off mindset. Moral certainty poisons empathy by making our convictions seem objectively real. Sixth, be different. Minor acts of nonconformity earn success-based status by attracting attention without violating group standards. Finally, remember you're dreaming. Status games are conspiracies we join to feel important, conjured from symbols like deference and titles. Wisdom comes from recognizing the game exists. Life's meaning isn't winning, but playing, finding pleasure in moving forward, knowing the game is both prison and path to freedom.